as we continue to prepare our hearts to hear your voice this morning. For it's only through your voice do you make known more of who you are to each one of us. I pray that we would experience the manifested presence of you here with us, Lord Jesus, surrounding us and living within us. I pray that each one of us will receive a fresh revelation of you this morning, and that we'd walk in that new light with your power, your leading, and your guiding. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. Amen. Well, it's been a few weeks since I've been here, but I'm here now. I thought my meditations this week were in chapter 20, verse 21. I figured I'd finish the book this week. Lo and behold, in my meditations this morning, I had trouble getting by two verses. So we'll see. So, in John's Gospel, in chapter 20 and verse 21, Jesus therefore said unto them, remember, we're at the point where Jesus has been resurrected. So let's get back to where we are right now in the Gospel of John. Jesus therefore said to them, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they'll be retained. Now there's so much misunderstanding of this scripture and taken out of context. No human being can forgive sins. So why does he say, if you forgive? What is he talking about? It's the principle of the exchanged life. It's no longer the disciples, it's the Holy Spirit within them that'll forgive sins or retain sins. And that's the Holy Spirit's function, not ours. We, in and of ourselves, can do nothing. To teach that you can forgive sins is a contradiction to the entire scriptures. But so often, people take a particular scripture out of context and, you know, they have these whole services where the whole church stands up and they pray over somebody that their sins will be forgiven, and they're bound on earth and they're bound in heaven. The verse is very simple. Receive the Holy Spirit, in essence, Eddie's translation, so that he, the Holy Spirit, will forgive the sins of any, and their sins will be forgiven. And if the Holy Spirit retains that sin, which is the sin of unbelief, they have been retained. That's the proper definition of that particular scripture. But it's so often misunderstood. The other thing I saw in this is the first thing Jesus says to the disciples is peace. Peace be with you. He's there. He is our peace. Why indeed does he say, his peace be with you? Let's go on. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples, therefore, were saying to him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the imprints of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. After 8 days again, his disciples were inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst and said, peace be with you. So each time Jesus shows up, he says, peace be with you. So there's something substantial about why Jesus says each time he reaches the disciples, peace be with you. Everything we're going to read about from the time of Jesus' resurrection on is not only a direction or a conversation with the disciples. It's a conversation with every single believer because he's resurrected. He's no longer dead. He's alive. And he's present with us. So each and every time the Lord Jesus Christ meets us, and what I say by meet us is something that I've been meditating on. See if you can understand this term. The conscious awareness of his manifested presence. We know he lives within us. We know he's omnipresent, he's all around us. But do we experience the conscious awareness of his manifested presence with us? He's not out there, he's here. Do we experience that presence? If we indeed experience that presence, that gives birth to trust. Because I'm seeing him, I'm experiencing him, I know he's here. It gives birth to trust. What does trust give birth to? Faith. And what does faith give birth to? Peace. So many believers today are not experiencing peace. I know in my own life, I have days where I'm not experiencing peace. But if I concentrate on the reality of his life present and resident within me, if I'm conscious of that, in other words, I think about it. It's something I put into my mind. Say, you're here, Jesus. As I get older, I feel less of an ability to defend my wife. When you go away and you know some young buck's going to come along, you're going to protect your wife. Somebody's going to shoot a bullet, you'll jump in front of her. Well, I have trouble moving in front of her, let alone jumping in front of her in these days. So as I get older, I realize that I am more dependent, as Pastor preached last week, on Jesus' reality. The reality that he's here. So you're going to come against me. I got nothing to worry about. I actually have confidence that he's going to take care of it. And whatever happens or whatever the results are, it was his plan. And he's a good God. He wants to do good things to me. He doesn't want to harm me. He wants me to know him. So in all of these things, he is bringing the believers, each and every one of us, to a place of peace. Because in peace we have rest. Rest is how we get to know him. It's the position by which we fight the enemy. We fight from a position of rest because we've already won the victory. What he is not saying here, I want to back up a minute. When he said in verse 21, receive the Holy Spirit, Thomas wasn't there. It seems strange if he's going to give the Holy Spirit at that point to all the disciples. Why wasn't Thomas there? Did Thomas get cheated? He didn't get the power of the Holy Spirit? But that's never God's plan. If we are in a place or not in a place that God wanted us to be, he's always faithful to give us what we missed. So oftentimes, you know, people say, oh, Friday night, I wanted to be at the men's fellowship Friday night. I wasn't there. And I, in my mind, said, I might have missed something. No, I didn't miss anything. God knew I wasn't going to be there. And like Thomas, he did for Eddie, he gives me what I need that I didn't receive out of that fellowship. This is the principle here. So if you're not there, so oftentimes, I've said it, especially to my wife because she works a lot of Sundays. Oh, man, you missed an amazing message. Like if she was cheated. That's not true. God knew she wasn't going to be there, and God was going to give her what she needed at that time. That's the same thing all the time. As a pastor of a church, like Pastor Dona, people come and go. And if they're not there, and something that was said that blew him over the top of his revelation of Jesus Christ, and someone is not there, it isn't that they missed it. God will be faithful to return and give them what they missed. So again, we're back to the place of rest. It's all about rest. And in rest, we have peace. Jesus said to Thomas, reach here your finger and see my hands. Reach here your hand and put them into my side. And be not unbelieving, but believing. Did the other disciples have the Holy Spirit indwelling them? He said, receive the Holy Spirit. Did they? Was Thomas cheated? No, at this point, none of them were yet possessed by the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit was a proclamation or a prophecy of what will come. And everything in this last chapters of John is about a prophetic word. It's a prophetic word for each and every one of us. If we're not there, God will be faithful to be there. Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord, my God. Because what? Thomas was walking by sight. I don't know about you, but I fail in this area 24/7. I say, Lord, I want to see you heal my knees. You? I read all the people, the millions that you heal. How about me? You forget me? Jesus has a specific plan for each one of our lives. And those difficulties that occur in that plan are all part of his plan. Because I think about the ripple effects or the collateral effects of those divine appointments. I walk around on a job site with a cane. I go up the stairs with a cane. If I see something on the ground, I pick it up, one hand with the cane and one hand with trash, and bring it to the barrel. Do you know there's not a man on that job site that doesn't pass me when I'm carrying something that says, can I get that for you? This is a job site. We're talking a construction job site. That's not what normally occurs on a construction job site. Do you know what I mean? And it's a divine appointment. Do I know the collateral effects of a divine appointment? No, but I know that my knees are in the condition they're in because of his plan for my life. And no matter what our aches and pains are, as we get older, a lot of us have more than others, but those are part of God's plan for our life. And he says to each and every one of us, in that plan, in what you're experiencing, peace. Peace. Because if you're aware of his presence within you, and it's manifested presence, in other words, it's conscious, I'm aware that Jesus is here. That breeds confidence. Who's Jesus? I shared about that a couple of weeks ago at service. He's infinite, perfect, holy, righteous, just, gracious, God of all grace, God of all mercy, omnipresent, omnipotent. He doesn't change, and he's here. If I'm aware of that presence, that brings confidence. Confidence in him brings trust. What is trust? Brings faith. So I don't walk by sight looking at my knees. I walk by faith. And as I'm walking by faith, regardless of our situations, I have peace in it. It's okay. It's really okay. I couldn't have touched these men in any other way. I could get on the job site and preach the word all day long, and they'd use some irrelevant language to tell me that I'm wrong. But just the life of him living within us and the effects of that life. He's the light of the world. He's not a light. He's the light. When we go into a situation, no matter where it is, no matter who we're with, the light of the world is in that situation. Does that not bring us peace? If we're not having peace, why don't we have peace? Because we're not conscious that he's here. If someone's going through something, I'm not advising you to do this, but if someone is going through a really difficult time and you say, are you aware that Jesus is with you? That he's within you? That he knows the beginning from the end, and he knew this whole story before it happened. He knew this situation before it happened. And he had a plan in it to bring him glory. I think that this portion of Scripture gives us another principle of the exchange life. Not my life, his life, living in me and through me. Can I forgive sins? No, but the Holy Spirit can. His life living in me and through me. Can I give anyone words that'll have eternal value? Cannot. Impossible. But the Holy Spirit who lives within me, and Jesus Christ who has a plan for my life, has words that can change their lives. From the Holy Spirit, they can have their sins forgiven, be born again, regenerated, justified, sanctified, and glorified. But that's the Holy Spirit's business. What does that do for me? Confidence. Confidence. Trust. Trust. Peace. It's all peace. We don't walk by sight, because by sight, everything looks pretty bad. I've been on a lot of vacations, and I've seen a lot of things, and no matter what I see, it's not right. It's not perfect. There's always imperfections. But when I see him, and my eyes are on him, and I see what he's seeing through me, everything is perfect. Lord, change this. Lord, change that. Lord, go get this back. God's in control. As we get to know him more personally, the collateral effects on all those situations. An old Pentecostal preacher years ago made this statement. I don't even know if it was originally with him. He said, but write all your problems down on a piece of paper, or two pieces of paper, or six pieces of paper. Fold them up, put them in a bag. Not a plastic bag. They didn't have plastic then. It was a paper bag. Paper bag. There you go. He says, and 1 year, write a date on it. 1 year from now, open up that paper bag and read what you wrote to see if any of those things have changed. Come to find out, he was right. Most of those things, if they would have changed the way you wanted them to change, things would have been worse. But the things that were changed, you could see his divine hand in it. Now, I don't know if that's original with him, but it's a principle. It's something I can put. It's a picture. Like Jesus uses pictures. It's a picture of our lives. Write everything down in the recesses of your mind and realize none of these things you can control. Really, none of them. But we can control our conscious awareness of his presence with us. We were talking about age this morning. I said my mom turned 101 last Monday, and comments were made. I don't want to look on it. But can you imagine if today, being the first day of our lives, we started to begin to have a conscious, man, let's make a decision that he is present. His manifested presence is residence within us. We're not praying to him out there. We're talking to him right here. It's a personal intimacy that Jesus Christ bought back what Adam was. And we have the opportunity. Can you imagine another 30 years? Well, maybe less than 30 years, but another 20 years of being aware of that, of purposing. I'm not a big fan of discipline, yet certain spiritual disciplines are healthy. They're healthy. If you set aside a time every day to read his word, or set aside a time every day to meditate, not in a dogmatic sense, oh, I didn't do it, but in a ritual sense. All the old folks showed up early this morning for the Bible study. Why? Because that was who we are in our background. We always get to anywhere we're going early. It's part of who we are as an older generation. I wish the younger generation felt that way. Driving back from the restaurant last night, cars weeping in and out. I held onto the wheel and I said to Liz, I said, Lord, you got to be with us. Wait a minute, you are with us. And I just kept traveling along the first lane. If somebody wanted to cut me off, I just backed off. Somebody would come up behind me, I would just stay the course, because Everybody's in a hurry. In a hurry to go where? Where? If you left 3 minutes early, you would have been on time. If you left 10 minutes early, you definitely would have been on time. And as my father's rule, unless you show up 15 minutes early, you're late. A lot of the military think the same way, and their parents have brought them up the same way. It's healthy. That's a healthy discipline. What time does service start? 10 o'clock. I'm going to discipline myself to leave early enough that I'm there before the meditation. Is that a law? Is that bondage? But as you continue in certain disciplines, they become a habit. Not like a bad habit, but of the same effects. Habits are habitual. That's what the word habit means. If I have a habitual time each day, or moment each day, that I just want to be quiet and realize that the manifestation of the Trinity is present with me. He's present with me. And if I do that in one moment of each day until it becomes a discipline, can you imagine? My mind just went, I can't wait. I can't wait. That's why I thought I was going to, I was telling the guys about, I thought I was going to finish the Gospel of John this morning, but I don't think I'm going to. God's got his timetable. And I need to study his word, specifically directed at a certain scripture. I study the word, I read the word, but because I'm teaching, I need to be disciplined to look at a particular scripture. So when I do, and if we do finish the Gospel of John, I'm going to start doing the Bible study every week because I need it. I need it. Objective preaching is something every one of us needs because we study the word on our own. We read the word on our own. We meditate on the word on our own. But when it comes to preaching, it's objective. We don't tell Pastor Donna what he's going to preach, what scripture he's going to use next. But God knows that we would not study that particular scripture. We would not hear the Holy Spirit's interpretation of that scripture, except for the humbleness of sitting and trusting that the Holy Spirit is going to speak to him, the speaker, and through him to each and every one of us exactly what we need. That's objective. Subjective, I'm aware of his conscious presence within me. Objective, I make myself available and discipline myself to hear from an object of teaching, of preaching. That's why they call it foolishness. Because if I'm in the Gospel of John and Pastor's in the Gospel of Matthew, I want to hear more about John. That's me. But when I go to church, I hear about the Gospel of Matthew. It's objective. Subjectively, he's here with me, and he has a plan through that objective teaching to show me more of himself, to bring us to a new level. I like, the Bible says deep calleth unto the deep. I never thought of knowing Jesus as deep. I thought it as above, right? Like my relationship's rising. But it's deeper. Why is it deeper? The deeper you go, the darker, the more personal, the more intimate things become. In the light, we got 1,000 distractions. But in the darkness, in the quietness, we have an opportunity to meditate on what he's telling us and enjoy what he's telling us and hear him say to us every single time, peace be with you. Because that's the object of, that's the result of us being aware of his presence, the presence within us. Verse 28. And Thomas said unto him, My Lord, my God. And Jesus said unto him, there's not a rebuke in the sense, but it is. It's a gentle rebuke. It's a loving rebuke. Because you have seen me, have you believed? Remember all the miracles that Thomas saw? Claimed that he was the Son of God. saw him die on the cross, because obviously he saw him die on the cross, the holes in his hand and the spear and the nails in his feet, so he must have been present at that time, or maybe went sneakily there afterwards so he wouldn't get caught. But he saw that presence. Jesus says, blessed are they who do not see, yet believe. What's believing? Faith. Faith, the evidence of things not seen. It isn't what we see, Thomas. It's what we believe without seeing. Do we practically believe that he is here with us? Right now. That I'm not alive anymore. That the life that I'm living now, the life that you're living now in the flesh, is his life living through you. And everything that happens in your life is his plan. For your life. Your plan would be much different. I know mine is. You know, quit smoking, get surgery, you know, run a quarter mile in 10 seconds. You know what I mean? But that's, you know, my plan. We know that's not God's plan because it hasn't happened. But it may happen. Either way, I know that he's in control. If he's present with me, and I'm aware of that, I'm consciously aware of that, I have confidence. Confidence breeds trust. Trust breeds faith. Faith brings rest. And that's what it's all about. A walk with the Lord is from a position of rest. Whether that's sitting down rest, laying down rest, it's a mental rest. Don't need to write all those things down and put them in a paperback. I have a mental rest that he's in control. Verse 30. Every book that we read, that I study, there's a purpose in that book. Thank God that John told us the purpose in his book. I didn't have to figure it out. Many other signs, therefore, Jesus also performed in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you have life in his name. That's the purpose of the whole entire book of John. Believe. Well, not unto salvation. If we're saved, we already believe that. It's a daily faith. It's a daily believing that he's in control. It's a daily believing that it's not my life anymore. It's his life. He can do with it what he wants. If you bought something, Tom bought a new truck, it's up to Tom what he does with that truck. It's his truck. He can do whatever he wants with that truck. Jesus bought our body. He paid a high price, his own life, to purchase that. It belongs to him. It doesn't belong to us. Anymore, period. My earnest prayer on a daily basis is that all those whom I love know my Jesus. We sing that song, my Jesus, because I know him personally. Do I know all of him? No, I don't. Does anyone know all of him? No, we don't. But I desire, and I pray that you desire, to know as much of him as he gives us the capacity on this side of eternity. When we enter eternity, we see him as he is. Wow! I can't even imagine that because I can't even experience a pebble of sand of what he wants to do in me and through me. He wants us to know him more than we want to know him. And he's God. And he's going to do whatever situations and circumstances in our lives to give us that desire. So whatever's going on in our lives is all a promotion to lead us to him, to that personal relationship with him. Many other signs Jesus therefore performed in the presence of the disciples are not written in this book. It's, like, mind-boggling. It's amazing that if every single thing that Jesus did in his public ministry, in his private ministry, in his life from birth, to, I mean, even in the womb, We don't know what he was experiencing in the room, but we know he was experiencing it for me. We don't know what it feels like to be delivered out of our mind. We don't. But Jesus was always conscious. So he experienced that for us. Everything that Jesus experienced was for us and in our place, so that there is nothing or no conversation we cannot have with him that he hasn't already experienced. All of our tomorrows, he's already experienced. So I can't change anything. So what? I can't change a thing. What does that do? Gives me confidence. Allows me to trust him more. Grow in faith. And live in his peace. His peace. Not as the world gives it. His peace. Which is who? It's him himself. Everything's directed toward Jesus himself. The one thing as I was doing the study for the attributes of God is that God the Father is a spirit. The Bible's very clear when he says the Father's a spirit. The Holy Spirit is very clear that he's a spirit. Spirit, unless they manifest themselves, which has happened, are invisible. In heaven, we're going to have the visible presence, physically, of the Trinity in Jesus Christ. We're going to see Jesus in heaven. We don't need to see the Father, because as Jesus told Philip, as you see me, you see the Father. We don't need to see the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit ministers for us to see Jesus. But Jesus' ministry is the manifestation of the Godhead, and we're going to be with him personally. Blows my mind. Why wait? Why wait? We can experience that presence, the reality, depending upon the capacity he gives us, which he will increase through the things we experience, the awareness of that presence that we will experience in heaven while we're still on earth. Why wait? I say that to myself. I'm not questioning you. I'm questioning myself. Eddie, why wait? What are you waiting for? It's been 48 years and you're waiting all this time but God's plan. Little by little, one brush stroke after another. He knows what the finished painting looks like. When you look at all those brush strokes, it looks like just like James's shirt, tie-dye, all over the place. But he has a plan. He knows the finished picture. And if we act as he tells us, in peace, we'll see that plan unfold in front of us, in his time and in his way. With that said, let's bow our head and close our eyes. Father, thank you for how much more of you revealed to us this morning. I thank you for the challenge that you set forth this morning of disciplining ourselves to be aware of your manifested presence within us, to experience that presence subjectively. We know it objectively, Lord, but we want a subjective experience of your presence at resident within us. If we do, we know that we will grow in our confidence in you. That you have a plan, you have a purpose, and it's perfect, it's holy, and acceptable to each and every one of us because of who you are. In the priceless name of our Lord Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen.